just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. You're man. Get your requests in now. So it's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. It is Wednesday. We're here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. And we want to talk with our good friend. You just heard Bill Withers, so that means only one thing. It means Kevin Powell. That's what it means. Kevin Powell, he does sports in the afternoons for us here on WGN on the Roy Khan Show. And he hosts Powell at the Park podcast and writes a blog with the same name. And you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And we love to have Kevin on to talk sports and all kinds of cool stuff. So let's welcome him to the show. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Nick D, never been better. Appreciate you having me, and I know I'm here to talk sports, but I did just see Mission Impossible.
Oh, man.
And I'm a big fan. I love the Mission Impossible series, yeah. And I was pleased with the newest edition. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I loved it. Did you happen to see it in IMAX?
I did not. Oh. I did not. I actually just went to your basic standard movie theater situation. But I know I probably should have seen it in IMAX, but it was sort of a last-minute thing. But yeah. I loved it. You know, I hate action movies that dumb it down. I mean, I guess that's sort of the idea of action movies. But sometimes they're, like, walking you through it and holding your hand. This one was fun. It takes you on that cool Mission Impossible ride where it's, you know, one twist after another. So I loved it. I thought it was great.
I'm a fan of the entire series, man. I think they're all good, and I think this is the best one yet. I mean, it blew me away. Some action sequences. I mean, that helicopter thing near the end is ridiculous. I mean, so, yeah, I love that movie. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. Glad you got to see it, man.
Yeah, it was great. I love the Mission Impossible series. So. Yeah,
it's good. And you know, I just want everybody to realize that Tom Cruise is 56 years old.
I know. There were some moments where I'm like, man, you know, I'm 29, but that looks painful. No. This guy is just a machine.
He's insane. He's 56 years old, and he's doing all that stuff. And I'm not exaggerating. 2 days ago, I threw my back out just getting out of bed. And I'm three.
Well, last time we talked weird sports injuries, people sneezing and getting hurt or putting on pants. So Tom Cruise is out there pulling off stunts. And,
right. I'm 50. He's great. I'm 3 years younger than him, and I can't get out of my bed without blowing my back out. So there you go. Welcome back, man. We got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. First of all, tell everybody about Powell at the Park, the podcast, and the blog before we get into some sports stuff.
Yeah, it's going well. I've had the blog for a couple of years, and now I do the podcast, which is once a week, and it's Cubs and White Sox material. Normally, I'll have a guest for both teams in town, and then I kind of just give my opinions on stuff. My most recent one was with Michael Kopech, which was great. That's the White Sox top pitching prospect, and we touched on a whole variety of things. So all things Chicago baseball at Powell at the Park.
Well, talk about Kopech, man. Tell us, give us the background and the interview, how that went, and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, Michael Kopech, for anybody that's not familiar by now, he was brought over to the Sox in that Chris Sale to Boston deal. And this season, he's a hard-throwing righty. A lot of people compare him to Noah Syndergaard with the New York Mets. He throws it really hard. The question was, can he own his command? And he's done that. Over his last six starts or so, he's just been absolutely dominant. So White Sox fans are really looking forward to seeing him up on the big league club. We're not sure when that's going to happen. A lot of them have their fingers crossed that it may be this year, but it has to do with service time and contract stuff and some really complicated, weird MLB language. But Michael Kopech is a Texas boy, and he's a competitive guy. And I think White Sox fans are really going to be drawn to him when he is in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Does he seem excited?
Oh, yeah. And it is one of the most fun interviews I've ever had and great conversations. I mean, he's candid. He's honest. He gives you a good idea where he's at mentally and physically. And, I think he's got a really bright future ahead of him. And over the past six or seven starts, he's been dominant. He's what you'd expect him to be down at AAA. So I don't know if he'll necessarily be called up this year, but without a doubt, you will see him full-time next year with the White Sox.
Okay, very cool. All right, and people can listen. That's episode 19, which is...
Yeah, episode 19, iTunes, Google Play, WGNRadio.com. Anywhere you can find podcasts, basically.
Got it. There you go. All right, listen, man. I understand that you were at the Bodie game.
Which
will be now referred to forever as the Bodie game. Oh, my God, man. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be at Wrigley at that time. I'm assuming that the building almost collapsed.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have been there for that whole 2016 ride, and I remember Miguel Montero's grand slam in the NLCS. Yeah. And then, of course, when they clinched the pennant, and it almost felt like the ground turned into a trampoline, and you were just kind of moving up and down because the entire building was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after that Bodie one, fans were celebrating, jumping down, doing everything you'd expect, but nobody left for a while.
Yeah,
it was like nobody wanted to leave the Bodie game. I mean, normally people, because Wrigley is Wrigley and it can be tough to get out, people are ready to run out and get out of the exits. Nobody was leaving their seats. Everyone was just jumping up and down and hugging and celebrating.
Yeah.
And for a while after that, 15, 20 minutes, there was still a ton of people in the park.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't get more dramatic than that, man. I mean, you can't write that, you know. It's unbelievable. And I got to say, that there was a great inning all the way. It was a great half inning. That bottom of the ninth was great. And I got to say, Contreras' at-bat was key, was absolutely key to that half inning.
Yeah, don't forget about Jason Hayward's hustling down the line.
Yeah.
Without him busting it out of the box, that's a routine grounder, but he forced an error, and he got on base, and then Contreras drew a great at-bat. And then David Bodie, I think that adds to the whole story, is that David Bodie's a career journeyman minor leaguer, and save for a few real diehard baseball people, nobody really knew about David Bodie at all before this season.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who bounced around the majors, up and down, triple and double and single A in the Cubs system. In 2016, he says he was considering quitting baseball. He was done. His wife said, no. You didn't drag me around, these minor league towns.
Right.
He goes, you're gonna stick it out. He's a family guy, and he did. And that's the moment. You could say David Bodie 20 years from now, and everybody will know, regardless of what the rest of his career is, people will know the name David Bodie. And they'll remember that moment when he had a walk-off ultimate grand slam.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable.
It was crazy. 2-2 count, two outs. I mean, it was insane. And he knew it right. Well, I mean, obviously he did the bat flip. Because I've watched that home run about 40 times now, just the replay of it. I was talking with Dan about this off the air that, the only regret is that it wasn't a local game, that it was ESPN. Like, Len and JD didn't get to do the call. You know?
Right.
It was an amazing moment.
I'm with you. Yeah, it was incredible. I just turned on the volume and watched it, I guess. It was one of those moments that you dream of as a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Down by three, you're the winning run at the plate, grand slam wins it, you pull it off in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
So it's a moment we're all never going to forget, whether you were there for it or whether you're watching at home or wherever you may have been. That's the David Bodie game.
That's right. Now, yesterday's game was a little bit different because they needed two grand slams in the bottom of the ninth to win it.
Yeah, bats went cold a little bit, huh?
Yeah, a little. Just a little. And they're playing Milwaukee, for God's sake. Come on, let's go. So
yeah, still hanging on to two-game division lead right now on Milwaukee. Milwaukee just won't go away. I still think the Cubs are still the best team in the division and probably all of the National League. The question is, are they good enough? Look, this is the moment in time for Cubs, the Cubs franchise, that it's about winning World Series right now.
Yeah.
This is not about winning divisions. This is not about making the postseason. This is about winning the World Series.
Yeah.
And is this team great right now? I think they're good. I think they have some flaws. They need to get healthy. They need Chris Bryant to get healthy. If they get lucky and Yu Darvish can somehow get back to Yu Darvish of old from past years, that'll be huge in the postseason. Brandon Morrow, the closer, those guys are out. And guess what? The Cubs still have the best record in the National League.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just feels like we're all kind of waiting for them to click on all cylinders. And we'll see. I think it's just going to – the key is to get healthy for them.
I'll tell you what, the acquisition of Cole Hamels has paid off big time. Man, has he pitched well since he's put on a Cub uniform.
He was having one of his worst years statistically down in Texas, and – I think it's right now, he's probably the best starting pitcher on the Cubs.
Yeah.
Considering John Lester's struggles, Quintana's been inconsistent, Hendricks has had his trouble. Cole Hamels has been outstanding. You know, it's funny, that game had so many storylines, the David Bote game.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the game, it was about A-Rod and Joe Maddon, and then during the game, it felt like a playoff game because you had a couple big-time pitchers in Scherzer and Hamels going at it, and then David Bote, who's got about 30 career games under his belt. Sorry to bring it back to Bote here, but he stole the show that night. But Cole Hamels was spectacular.
He was.
And he kept them in that game because Scherzer was next to unhittable.
Yeah, it was a great game all the way around. Because I'm a fan of the pitcher's duel. I like it. I like the low-scoring pitcher's duel. And that was as good a pitcher's duel as you could ever get. And then to end on the note with coming back in the bottom of the ninth, that was one of the best games of the year. Absolutely one of the best games of the year. So, all right,
let's talk
a little bit about what's going on South Side. What's the feeling? What's the feeling over there?
Yeah, I think a big part is a lot of the attention, not only in the big league club, but on the farm system. I mentioned Kopech, but then Eloy Jimenez, their top hitting prospect, completely mashing down there. He's hitting .350, something like that, in AAA. He's got 21 homers between Double and AAA this season. So there's some, I think, excitement with the White Sox fan base. Yoan Moncada, the second baseman, has had some struggles. He's striking out a lot, but you got to figure, the more experience they're getting now, the better long-term. And I know some fans are kind of ride these highs and lows of the rebuild. If one of these guys who's 23 years old is struggling, he's a bust, and then he goes on a streak for 2 weeks, and everybody's like, he's a superstar, just like we thought. So,
Kevin, as a guy who follows sports, you got to love sports fans. You got to love, I mean, just that's exactly what it's like, man. They're like, oh, man, they suck. And then, like, 3 days later, they're the best. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the Bears' first two preseason games. People are already changing their win-loss projections for the regular season off of preseason. But, I think for the Sox, it's fun to be a fan. If you want to ride the highs and lows, go right ahead. But don't get overly disappointed if they lose right now. This is part of the rebuild. I think next year you're going to see a major improvement. And then in a couple of years, I think this is a team that could compete for a championship.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's what everybody's, that's the timetable that everybody's projecting anyway. I don't think Sox fans, expected anything more than what they're getting now. And I think most Sox fans understand, like Cubs fans, like in 2012, it's going to take a little time to do the rebuild and then become a great team.
Right. Yeah, no question. I know it's easy for us to compare the Cubs and Sox, and rightfully so, because it is a rebuild. I do think the Sox competitive window will come a little bit sooner than the Cubs did because the Sox had so many assets to trade. They had the Quintana trade to the Cubs. Look what that brought a huge haul back. And then the Chris Sale trade, that brought a huge haul back as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Cubs in 2012 had two guys like that could give you a major return. It was sort of a slower process building through the draft and some key acquisitions here and there. But it's going to take a little bit of time, but they're getting there.
All right, brick by brick. All right, cool. Kevin, hang out, okay, buddy?
You got it.
All right, there you go. Kevin Pollard, our good friend. We come back, he mentioned the Bears. We're going to talk Bears coming back out of the break. Kevin Pollard, you can hear him do sports on the Rokan Show afternoons right here on WGN. Powell at the Park is his podcast and his blog, and you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. More talk with Kevin Pollard right after this on 720 WGN. There it is. Boy, football season is already almost here. It's crazy. Everybody's looking to see what the Bears are going to do this year. Kevin Powell is with us. By the way, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell does sports for us right here on WGN on the Rokan Show. He does a Powell Park podcast and a blog of the same name. You can find those all where you get podcasts and at WGNradio.com. And let's welcome Kevin back. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Always a pleasure.
All right, buddy. So, Bears, here we go, man. Let's talk a little bit about the first two games of the preseason, and we're looking at another one on this Saturday. You mentioned a little bit, you made a couple of comments before the break, but tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Bears in your eyes.
Yeah, it's always, you don't want to overreact in either direction for a couple preseason games. The Bears, that first game wasn't necessarily, that was that Hall of Fame game, so almost zero starters played, but then we saw Mitch Trubisky in Cincinnati, and the offense didn't look great. Defense really didn't look great either, but that's okay. It's not a huge deal in the first preseason game or so. You know, the biggest storyline of training camp really has been Roquan Smith, their top draft pick, and they finally got him to sign his rookie deal. He
right.
missed all of camp. The holdout lasted about 30 days, 29 days. He's back with the team now. He'll travel. The Bears are going to be in Denver this week for joint practices with the Broncos, and then the two teams will play Saturday night for a preseason game. But having Roquan miss a month, I think, is significant. Fortunately, they still got about the same amount of time, 27 or 28 days, until that opener at Lambeau Field. But he's got to get caught up. He's got a lot of work to do, and I think he should be ready by week one. But signing their rookie, their top draft pick, Roquan Smith, he was the only rookie holdout in the entire league. So, and that's a middle linebacker position. You're kind of the quarterback of the defense. You need to know everybody's X's and O's and where everybody has to be. So that was significant, but he's with the team. We can move past the contract holdout and the negotiations and focus on football with him now.
So what are we looking at here schedule-wise? Are Bears fans excited about the schedule? Are they concerned or anything? What's going on?
I think it's, I think one of the things to consider, because I hear some win-loss projections being thrown out there by Bears fans. I go, look, I think they're going to be better this year than they were last year. But let's remember, this is a first-year head coach. He's implementing an entire new offense to his second-year quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, who doesn't have a ton of playing time under his belt anyways. He only started one season in college, and then he only has about 12 games under his belt in the pros. So I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic and have some excitement around this team, but it's still going to take a while for a second-year quarterback to learn a new offense. And in the NFC North, people are talking about the Bears making the playoffs. They go, look, even if the Bears have a pretty good year, they still might only be the fourth-best team, so last place in the division, because you have the Vikings, who are arguably one of the best teams in the NFC. They were a game away from the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers have Aaron Rodgers. And the Lions have had the Bears numbers over the number over the past few years, and they have Matthew Stafford. It's a very tough division. You got to play six divisional games. So I realize there's optimism and excitement, but let's keep in mind there's still a lot of question marks surrounding this team, and they play in a really tough division.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm not a big golf guy, but I know you are. And how do you feel about the U.S. Open and how that turned out? And tell me a little bit of how you are about what's going on with Tiger.
Well, the U.S. Open and the Open, Tiger had the lead for a little bit in the PGA Championship. You know, Tiger Woods finished all alone in second place, and he held the lead for a little bit at the Open. Tiger Woods, even after the PGA Championship, was like, he basically said, yeah, I'm surprised I'm here this quick, this soon. He had major spinal fusion surgery just a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, a year ago, there was question marks a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that would he even play again? How competitive would he be?
Right.
And now he's back out there competing for major championships, and he might make the U.S. Ryder Cup team this year. I think the biggest obstacle for Tiger now is health, of course, but the field is just stacked with so many good golfers nowadays. But it's great to see Tiger again, and of course the ratings were up like 70% for the PGA tournament, largest ratings in almost a full in 9 years. That's the Tiger effect. I'm just super excited. It's good for golf when Tiger's competitive,
yeah,
and he seems to be in a pretty good place.
That's cool. The only thing that I know about the U.S. Open is that it made Big Brother 20 minutes late on Sunday.
The PGA Championship. For us sports, for us golf junkies, that was some great theater.
No, but, I understand.
Sorry to the Big Brother fans out there.
Hey, before I let you go, Kevin, have you seen this viral video of this kid, Big Al, who hits dingers?
Big Al came here to hit dingers and steal your girlfriend, and he's all done hitting dingers. Look out, folks.
He's the best, man. That kid is the best. He was on Kimmel.
And he hit a homer.
He did, and he was on Kimmel last night. And because Kimmel loves him. And, you know, they interviewed the kid, and he's fantastic. And there's like, why is his nickname? He asked him, why is his nickname Big Al? And he goes, because, you know, who gave you the nickname? He goes, my dad and my grandfather, because my grandfather was Big Al, my dad's Little Al, and now I'm Big Al again.
I love that
it's
guy.
The best.
Big Al,
he's
baby.
The best.
He's stealing
and he's,
the show.
And he's got the home run derby today. So
I love it.
Let's see what Big Al does in the home run derby. So.
All right, Team Big Al. We'll be rooting for him.
There. He's going to hit dingers. All right, Kevin. Take care, buddy. Always good to talk to you, man.
You're the best, Nick. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, pal. There's Kevin Powell. Love talking sports with him. You can hear him do the sports with us right here on WGN on afternoons with the Rokan Show. And, of course, follow him on his blog, which is Powell at the Park. That's also the name of his podcast that you can get where you get podcasts. And you can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. We'll take a break. We'll go to the news right after this on 720 WGN.